Hallelujah. If you've been washed in the blood, would you stand to your feet right now? I feel that there is a spirit of restoration that is in this place right now. God wants to restore some things right now. Would you grab your neighbor by the hand and you begin to pray with them? That restoration would begin to happen in their life. God, you are a restorer. There is nothing that's too dirty that you can't make worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God has ordained this day a day of miracles. This Sunday in July has been ordained by God as a day of miracles. If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and repented of your sins and had those sins washed away, that is the greatest miracle that you could ever experience in your life. I want to just offer this to you today. If you have not yet received that gift, you can have it before you leave this place tonight. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to restore some things in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, if you have your Bibles. Pastor preached a wonderful, powerful message about God being above all, and about the miraculous and the supernatural. And tonight I'm going to follow in that same vein. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned unto the people, gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he besought him that he would come to his house. For he only had one daughter, about 12 years of age. Say 12 years. And she laid dying. But as he went with Jairus, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. Say 12 years. 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. Somebody touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him and all the people for the cause which she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." One more verse of scripture, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things, say that with me, all things, work together." Say that with me, work together. There is a process that takes place. All things work together in a process for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I've come tonight, I can't shake this. I haven't been able to shake this for 2 weeks, what God's been speaking into me. And I've got a prophetic word for some people here today. I'll be honest with you, three people I know that God laid on my heart specifically that this message is for, and for others, I'm sure. But I've got a prophetic word here tonight, if you'll receive that. The miracle has already begun. The miracle has already begun. There are people in this congregation that have been praying and that have been going through things and have been in intercessory prayer over some things. And when you look around, you have not seen anything move or shake. I've come with a word from God today that that miracle, that process has begun to start already. It is already in the works, though you have not been able to see it. God has been working on the sidelines behind where you have not been able to see. And God is working in your situation. You hold on, child of God. The miracle has already begun. There's getting ready. There's going to be a demonstration of the miraculous here in just a few minutes. And it's not because of me, but it's because of the power that has been in this place all day long. His power has been here. I want some intercessory prayer warriors here in just a second. I want you to declare the gifts of the Spirit to operate freely in this place. They're going to happen here in just a minute. Would you begin to declare that? Others of you, I want you to pray a specific prayer in your own words. God, take every bit of doubt out of my mind and heart and fill me full of faith. Would you begin to do that right now? God, I declare and I ask that the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith and miracles and healing and prophecy and tongues and interpretation and wisdom and knowledge would be demonstrated in this place right now. I pray that all doubt and unbelief would leave this place by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And I pray and I release faith into the hearts of the people here today. God, I pray that you would speak and work in our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands if you believe he's getting ready to do something? Oh, God. And you may be seated, just don't stay down. I've come to preach today that we're not serving a dead God who cowers in fear or refuses to answer. He is not some fictional character made up in a book. He was not made with man's hands or thought up with man's thoughts. He does not fear and he is not shaken by our circumstances. He bows to no one. He is God above all gods. He is King above all kings. And he is Lord above all lords. Pastor preached it this morning. He is omnipotent. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And there is nothing that is too hard for him. And there is nothing that is impossible for him. I do not care what situation you walked in with today, and I'm not minimizing it, but I've come to declare that God is able to work in your situation. He is able to heal and restore and deliver and bring peace and bring comfort in the name of Jesus. He's able to do that. We believe and we know that God is omniscient, meaning that God knows everything. He is all-knowing. At first, look, this seems like a simple concept. God knows everything. But the more we study the Bible, the more we come to understand the truth that that bears. Psalm 147 and 4. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Imagine God not only knows how many stars are in the universe, but he calls them each by name. An Australian study a few years ago said that they begin to look at the stars in the sky and try to calculate how many there are. And the number they came up with was 70 million, 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 which is 70 with 22 zeros behind it. I don't know how to count that far. But that means that there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. 5 to 10 times more on 4 or 5 different things that I researched and read. 5 to 10 more stars in the sky than grains of sand on the beaches in the world. What an incredible picture of the omniscience of God. He knows every one of those stars, and He can call each of those stars by name. Can I preach to you that God knew you and had a plan for your life before you were ever born? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Matthew 10 and 30 tells us even the hairs on our head are numbered. For some of us, that's a lot. For some of us, it's not so many. Nevertheless, they're numbered. Psalm 139 and 1, David wrote, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and you know when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely." He knows the stars in the sky. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows the way you take and what's on your mind. And He knows the words that's in your mouth before you ever speak them. That's what David said. Now, if I were to ask who believed that in here, I would suspect that I'd get close to 100%. We believe that, and we know that God is omniscient and He is all-knowing. But it's not a matter of us believing that as much as it is trying to comprehend that. You see, you and I are faced with difficult situations on a regular basis. We are placed in undesired predicaments occasionally, and trials seem to arise on every side. Suffering seems present. Sickness and pain become regular. And sometimes it seems as hell itself is knocking on our door. See, in those times, it's easy to say to the omnipresent God, "God, where are you? Do you see where I'm at?" Sometimes we feel like Job. I looked to the right and to the left, and I can't perceive you. I looked in front of me and behind, but where are you, God? You're the omnipresent God. And it's times like these that it's easy to say to the omniscient, the all-knowing God, "Do you understand what I'm going through? Why is this happening to me? Are you hearing me, God?" And that three-letter word that's so prevalent in our humanity, why? Why? Why, God, why do I have to go through these things? You see, it's hard to grasp an omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent God when we're going through it. It makes no difference, though, whether we're on the mountaintop spiritually or in the valley low spiritually. Sometimes these questions just arise in our life, and it's simply because we are human frailty, and it is hard for us to comprehend a God that is limitless. But I've come to help somebody tonight that's been asking those questions. He knows the number of stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the sea and the number of hairs on your head, and He knew you before you were born. And for somebody here tonight that's been questioning, why is this happening to me? And where are you at, God? I've come with a word for you. He knows exactly where you are, what you're dealing with. You are not alone. He is with you. He knows your exact location, child of God. You may have been surprised by the circumstance, but I can promise you God wasn't surprised. You might have been taken off guard by the situation, but I promise you God wasn't taken off guard. Can I reaffirm to somebody, He loves you. He cares for you. You are not alone. God is with you. God is with you. I wonder, would you lift your hands if you know that to be true, and would you thank Him for His goodness? God, I thank You that You never leave us and You never forsake us. You know exactly where we are. You know exactly what we're going through. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings 17 and 3, God speaking to Elijah. He said to Elijah just done some things, spoke some things to Ahab, and he says, God says to him, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, that after a while, it came to pass that that brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. The great prophet Elijah has just prophesied to the evil king Ahab that there's going to be no dew or rain for years. And God tells Elijah, go eastward to the brook Cherith. And when you get there, God said, in the morning and the evening, I'm going to send ravens to feed you, and you're going to drink from that brook, and you are going to be sustained. You want to talk about being in the will of God. God didn't say just go eastward and you find a place. And he said go eastward, and then he said you're going to find a brook that's called Cherith by Jordan, and that's where you're going to be, and this is what I'm going to do for you. And he was in the will of God. Elijah's doing his thing. Now, Brother Smith, I wouldn't call it a vacation because he's hiding from Ahab, the most evil king. But Elijah is witnessing the power of God in his life. Elijah is being fed by ravens. Now, it says bread and flesh in the morning. I assume that's biscuits and bacon in the morning that he got. And then it says he's fed bread and flesh in the evening. So I don't know if Elijah got to talk to those ravens and put in his order. Maybe it was a ribeye steak and Texas toast. I don't know. But either way, we understand that God was feeding Elijah through these ravens, and it was a miraculous situation. He was there, and he was being fed by these ravens, and he was always sustained because there was a brook of water there that he was able to drink from. The Bible tells us that after a while, this brook dried up. You see Elijah saying, God? Hello, God? The brook just dried up. What's going on? You told me to go to this place. I'm in the will of God. This is where you put me. And now things are happening that are out of my control. I can't do anything about this. The brook is dried up. And God speaks to him, and he says, go to Zarephath and meet a widow woman there, and she is going to sustain you. He gets to Zarephath, you know the scripture, and he finds the widow, and he's very thirsty, and she goes and she gets him a drink. He's thirsty because his brook dried up, and he hadn't had water for a while. And then he's famished because of the travel that he had to do to get to the city. And he says, I need something to eat. He said, could you make me some dinner, a meal for this journey, famished me? She replies, sir, I don't even have a full cake to make myself. She said, I'm fetching two sticks to make a fire, and I only have just a handful of meal. And my son and I were going to eat our last meal, and then we're prepared to starve to death and die. Hello, God. I was in your will, and then you directed me to this lady, and she doesn't have anything to sustain me with. You want to talk about two crazy circumstances. Elijah has no water because his brook dried up. He gets to the widow who's already with her son, experienced great loss. Her husband and the father of her son died. She's a widow. And they've already experienced that death and that loss. And Elijah gets there and he's hungry. But the widow is prepared to die because she doesn't have any more food. Now, God is omniscient and he is all powerful. God, you're sending ravens to bring the prophet breakfast and dinner, and you're letting this brook go. I believe, this is just me, but I believe that this omniscient, all-powerful God could have spoke and that brook could have started bringing water. He could have just said, Elijah, just wait just a minute here. I know it's not raining in all of the land and there's no dew, but I'm going to sustain you and I'm going to let that brook flow with water. But the omniscient, all-knowing God did not choose to do it that way. There was a woman and her son over here that was getting ready to die of starvation. And if that brook would have produced water, that woman and that son would have died because there would not have been a man of God to speak into her life and show her what the miraculous was like. Why didn't God just tell Elijah to go help that woman? Why did he allow the brook to dry up? Could it be that Elijah was comfortable in the place that he was at? Sometimes we wonder and we feel like we're in the will of God, and we know that God has called us here and told us to be here and told us to do that. And out of nowhere, things begin to happen that are out of our control, and we're saying, what's going on here, God? Why is this happening? Could it be that you and I become so comfortable in the place that we're at that God allows things to happen in our life to move us and to shake us so that we will keep following the will of God? So Elijah is there, and he's in the will of God. But if God would not have allowed him to become uncomfortable, there was a widow in Zarephath that most likely would have died. But watch this. Because of Elijah's obedience, and because of the widow's obedience, that God became Jehovah Jireh, and he provided the miracle and the provision for both of them because of their obedience. She only had one meal. You see, her provision directly affected his provision. And his provision directly affected her provision. When he got there and said, I need some meal, she could have said, sorry. All I got's a handful, and you're not getting it. I mean, that's real life. Sorry, I got a little bit here for me and my boy. And my boy's more important than you are, so I'm not giving it to you. No, she said, all right, man of God, I'll give what God has asked of me. And because Elijah went, and because the woman was willing to obey, they both got provision because there was obedience to the word of God. Listen to me, somebody. There will always be a point in time where God is going to require obedience. And if you will obey, you will see the power and the miraculous of God like you have never seen before. You see, widow and son, don't worry about your next meal. Your miracle has already been birthed. It has started. It has already taken shape. God started drying a brook up before your last meal ever started dwindling down. You see, this lady, I would imagine, as her meal is beginning to fade and beginning to fade and beginning to fade, she's probably calling out saying, God, do you see me? Where are you? I don't know where you're at, but we're getting ready to die. And that whole time, she could not see what was going on. She had no idea what was going on in the process of the miraculous right there. Little did she know that before she ever got down to that last bit of meal, God was drying up a brook over here to send the man of God over here so that the miraculous could be performed in their life. Listen to me, child of God. The miracle has already begun. God has already begun working the miracle in your life. life. It has already begun to start. The process has been started already. You've been praying. You've been interceding. You've been calling out to God. You've been talking about it. The miraculous of God. Listen, He's already started it. He's working on it. He's moving some things, though you may not be able to see it right now. Though you may not be able to see it right now, He's doing. Would you lift your hands right now, and would you receive the word right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God always shows up right on time. I know that we like to say, God, if you'll do it this way, and this way, it'll work out. Or if you'll do it at this time, everything's going to be okay. But God works on His own time clock. And just because you haven't seen the miracle come to fruition, don't give up. Hold on to your faith, because God is working. The timing of your answer is going to directly affect the provision of somebody else. I felt that in the Holy Ghost this afternoon so strong. Don't fret and don't be afraid. Trust God in His timing, because He always shows up on time. You see, Elijah's provision was directly affected by that woman's provision. And sometimes God's got to get us uncomfortable so that we'll come over to B, so that we'll come over from plan A to plan B here, so that He can start working in their life. Oh, don't be selfish. Don't say it's all about me, God. What about me? What about me? God may want to use you to directly affect the miracle in somebody else's life. I don't know about you, but I want to be open and available and say, God, whatever it is you want to do in my life, do it. There are things happening in your life right now that you do not understand. And you hear the word of the Lord, Elijah. God is allowing these things to happen because there is a widow needing provision. Widow that's been praying, that's been interceding, you hold on. The miracle has already begun. Elijah is becoming uncomfortable right now. The brook is beginning to dry up, and God is working on your behalf. In our text, I'm hurrying. In our text, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, the Bible tells us, was dying. He fell at the feet of Jesus, and he begged Him that He would come to his house. And he spoke the words of faith. He did. He said, if you'll come to my house and you'll pray for my daughter, she will live. I mean, he spoke some faith. He got down there, he spoke some faith. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went with him. I looked this up in Mark and Matthew, and Mark says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. Matthew 9:19, same story. And Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. So we understand that as Jairus is running to Jesus, as he comes to the city, and Jairus is running to Jesus, and he gets down on his feet and he begs him, and Jesus says, yeah, I'm coming. And the Bible tells us that he got up from where he was and he began walking to the house of Jairus. He was on a journey. Now, we don't know how far it was. We don't know exactly where he was going, but what we do know is he was following Jairus to that house. Bible tells us that while he was on the journey to his house, to his 12-year-old daughter's house, by the way, that a woman with an issue of blood for how long? 12 years, came in through the press, probably on her hands and knees, I would imagine, because it says that she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible tells us what we read, that she was made whole. Back up 12 years ago, this woman got a disease in the same year that a little girl was born. As Jesus comes to this place, it just so happens that the same girl that was born the same time that this woman came with an issue of blood, she got sick at the same time that Jesus was coming through the city. and he is on his way to that same girl's house who was born the same year as the woman with the issue of blood, and that woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched his garment and was made whole. You can call it coincidence if you want, but if Jesus wouldn't have been on his way to the ruler's house, this woman probably would not have known or even heard that Jesus was there. But Jesus was on his way to this little girl's house. And because he was on his way to that little girl's house, that woman with the issue of blood knew that he was in the area. And she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to touch the hem of his garment and see the miraculous in my life. Listen to me, somebody. God knows the end from the beginning. He saw the disease and pain and struggle of that woman with the issue and began the process of the miracle the same year that that lady was struck with that disease, because that 12-year-old girl was born that same year. You can call it coincidence if you want, but I don't believe in coincidence when it comes to God. God knew that there was going to be a woman that had an issue of blood. God knew that there was a little girl that was born that same year. And God knew that it was going to take that for her to be able to find Jesus and reach out and touch him. She had no idea. She had no idea what had been working in the background. Can you imagine that woman when she came down with this issue of blood? You know it was bad because of the way and the faith that she had to get to Jesus. But can you imagine the pain and the suffering that she felt? It was a pretty bad disease, apparently. And I'm sure that she called out to God. The Bible says that she had spent her money on all the physicians and she only grew worse. Nobody was able to do anything for her. I'm sure that she was trying to figure out and do whatever it took to be healed. And all of that time in the background, though that woman had no idea, there was a miracle that had already begun. Jesus had already started the process of the miracle way over here 12 years ago. And that lady just wasn't able to see it until it was accomplished in her life. Hear the word of God to somebody right now. God has heard your cry. He has heard your intercession. And he has heard your prayer. And though you cannot see it, there are things working that had started working when you first cried out. I believe that God had begun working and moving and touching in your situation before you ever even saw that there was an inkling that he was doing anything. He was working over here. He was working over here. He was working over here, saying, I'm going to perform a miracle in their life. God's provision is perfect. Because he knows what we need, where we need it, and when we need it. I said God's provision is perfect because he knows what we need. He knows where we need it, and he knows when we need it. Now his time frame isn't always my time frame. Because I'd like to see, you know what? That happens. We get the poppets miracle sometimes. This is a pop, and it happens. Sometimes it's one of those stitching miracles where there's a process to it. There's a process to healing. There's a process to restoration. There's a process to the supernatural work in their life. We just don't see it. God's timing isn't always my timing because I want it right now. Hear me, somebody, but if I can hold on and I can say, God, I know you're omniscient and I know you have all power and you know all things. And if it's going to take a little while for me to get my miracle, for you to get the glory, or for you to work a miracle in somebody else's life, I'm surrendering myself to you and saying, God, it's in your hands. I trust you. I trust you. You want to know what faith is? It's trusting God when we don't see it. I can't see Him working, but I have faith to believe that He's working. Just stand with me all over this building, and would you lift your hands right now? I feel the power of God in this place. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God provides the right thing at the right place at the very right time. You may have walked into this service tonight thinking that maybe it was by accident, or that we were just going to have service as usual, business as usual around here. It's the will of God that you are in here today. Not because of who I am, because the power and the presence and the will of God that's here. I don't know what you came in here needing. If it's forgiveness, God can provide that. If it's healing, God can provide that. If it's direction, God can provide that. If it's in a miracle for your family or your marriage, God can do that. If it's strength, God can do that. If it's peace, God can do that. If it's deliverance, God can do that. Whatever you came in here needing today, God can do that. So I speak to you one last time. Your miracle has already begun. It is taking shape. It has started. God saw what you needed long before you ever saw, and He began making the means for you to be able to obtain the answer that you are seeking. God is working in this place right now. I invite everybody that wants to come up to the front here, would you lift your hands when you get up here and say, God, my trust is in You. God, my faith is in You. I believe that You're working. I believe that You're moving. I believe that You're touching. You are a way maker. You are a miracle worker. You are our deliverer and our Savior.